ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 9, Chapter 18. We'll start with text number 45. Then we'll read a few texts, and then 49 is on the board, so we'll chant that one. Text 45. Iti pramudita paru pratyagranacharam pitu sopitad vayasa kaman yatavaj jujuse nripa. Translation, Sukadev Goswami said, in this way, O Maharaj Prakshit, the son named Puru was very pleased to accept the old age of his father Yayati, who took the youth of his son and enjoyed this material world as he required. Saptadvipapati samyak pitrivat palayan praja yato pajosam vishayan jujuse vyatendriya. Thereafter, King Yayati became the ruler of the entire world, consisting of seven islands, and ruled the citizens exactly like a father. Because he had taken the youth of his son, his senses were unimpaired, and he enjoyed as much material happiness as he desired. Devayanyapanudinam manovagdehavastuvi prayasak paramam pritim Uvaha prayasiraha. In secluded places, engaging her mind, words, body, and various paraphernalia, Devayani, the dear wife of Maharaj Yayati, always brought her husband the greatest possible transcendental bliss. Text 48. Ayayajadyagya purusham kratubir buri dakshina sarva deva mayam devam Sarva Veda Mayam Harim. King Yayati performed various sacrifices in which he offered abundant gifts to the Brahmanas to satisfy the Supreme Lord Hari, who is the reservoir of all the demigods and the object of all Vedic knowledge. So text number 49. Yasmin Idam Virachitam Vyomniva Jaladavali Naniva Bhati Nabhati Swapna Maya Manurataha Yasmanidam Virachitam Vyomniva Jaladavali Naneva bhati na bhati Swapna maya manurataha Yasmin idam virachitam Vyomniva jaladavali Naneva bhati na bhati Swapna maya manurataha Yasminidam Mirachitam Vyomni Vajaladavali Naneva Bhati Nabhati Swapna Maya Manurataha Ladies, anyone? Yasmin, in whom? Idam, this entire cosmic manifestation. Virachitam, created. Vyomni, in the sky. Iva, like. Jaladavadi, clouds. Nana, Iva, as if in different varieties. Bhati, is manifested. Na abati is unmanifested. Swapnamaya, illusion, like a dream. Manurataha, created to be traversed by the chariot of the mind. Translation, the Supreme Lord Bahasudev, who created the cosmic manifestation, exhibits himself as all-pervading, like the sky that holds clouds. And when the creation is annihilated, everything enters into the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, and varieties are no longer manifested. Translation, please repeat. The Supreme Lord Bahasudev, who created the cosmic manifestation, exhibits himself as all-pervading, like the sky that holds clouds. And when the creation is annihilated, everything enters into the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, and varieties are no longer manifested. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 19, Mahunam janmanam anti gyanavan mam prapadyante vasudeva sarvniti sa mahatma sudurlava. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, is one with the Supreme Brahm, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Everything is in Him, in the beginning, and at the end, all manifestations enter into Him. He is situated in everyone's heart, Savasya Chaham Riti Sannivista. And from Him, everything is emanated, Janmadyasa Yataha. All material manifestations, however, are temporary. The word swapna means dreams, maya means illusion, and manurata means mental creation. Dreams, illusions, and mental creations are temporary. Similarly, all material creation is temporary. But Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the eternal absolute truth. Yasmin idam virachitam yomniva jaladavali naneva bhati nabhati swapna maya manurataha. Supreme Lord Vasudeva, who created the cosmic manifestation, exhibits himself as all-pervading like the sky that holds clouds. And when the creation is annihilated, everything enters into the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and varieties are no longer manifested. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandiyam Adadanastranandantai Vritam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So I was born in the darkness of ignorance with my eyes closed shut. But my spiritual masters opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge, therefore I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So the previous verse, verse 48, describes how Maharaj Yayati was offering sacrifices to please the Supreme Lord. So this verse 49 describes who is that Supreme Lord. Here it gives a nice example. That this entire creation is resting within him. He said, just like Eva, Vyom, just like, remember, there was one demon in Krishna Lila named Vyomasura. He could fly in the Vyom, in the sky. So Vyoma means sky. So like the sky, Vyomni Eva, Jaladavali, Jal, we know, means water. So Jalada means who gives water. And when we put the suffix avali on the end, means a whole bunch of clouds. Like we see clouds, hardly we see them alone. They're always in a group like this. Jaladavali. But we see the clouds, to us they seem so huge. We look up in the sky, we see the clouds, and it seems so huge. But still it's contained within the sky. So in the same way, this material creation appears to be very big, but still it's contained within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like sometimes, like this time of year, we hardly see any clouds. The clouds come and go, and sometimes it manifests, sometimes unmanifested. Bhati na bhati. Sometimes manifests. But it's all happening within the sky. It's happening within the Supreme. So it's same way, this whole creation appears to be very huge. The scientists are peering with their so-called telescopes and Sputniks and so many things trying to understand. And they're telling that things are so many hundreds of millions of light years. But who knows what they're actually seeing? Just like we go to the circus, and we enter one tent and we look in the mirror and we see ourselves very squat and fat. Then we walk to the next mirror and we're thin and tall. So Krishna's illusory energy is very powerful. Who knows what they're actually seeing? They're saying that things are so many millions of miles away. Not millions of miles, but millions of light years. We know light travels at about 3 lakh kilometers per hour, per second. Not per hour, per second. And you put those many seconds into a year, we can't even calculate how many that is. So they're saying all these things, but who knows actually what they're seeing. But anyway, it appears, the point is, it appears very huge. But still, it is within, it is not beyond the Supreme Personality of God. It is within Him. And here it describes that when the material creation winds up, it winds up within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here it describes swapna. Swapna means dream. So it is just like maya, swapna maya. It is a dream. But sometimes we see dream. Just like since this coronavirus starts, somehow every night we get these weird dreams. And sometimes we think they're real. And suddenly we wake up and we're shaking in our bed. And we look around and say, oh, I'm here in Vrindavan. Safe and sound with Krishna Balaram. So dream is only, it may seem, appears real, but it is temporary. We cannot say that it's false because I'm seeing it. But it is temporary. I'm actually experiencing, oh, this is going on. But then when I wake up, it disappears. So this material world is like that. It appears to be real, and it's actually real. We cannot say that it's false. The Mayavadis, they say, Jagat Mithya. That this material world is false. It is false in the sense that it is temporary. Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, he says, that which is eternal has no cessation, and that which has material has no duration. So he doesn't say it is false, but it is temporary. But the process is eternally going on, that the material world is manifest for some time, and sometimes unmanifest. Sometimes manifest, sometimes unmanifest. But this process is going on, but the manifestation is temporary. So we cannot say it is false, that we are actually experiencing these different types of bodies and different experiences within these bodies. Just like, so this is insult to the Supreme Lord, because we understand from Vishnu Purana, Parashya Sakti Vividaya Visruyate. Lord has multifarious energies. Though the Acharyas divide them into three, His internal potency, the marginal energy, and the external potency. So it is one of Krishna's energies. It is Krishna's creation. Now if we say it is false, that's like somebody, just like I'm seeing this beautiful painting of Krishna here with the cows, herding the cows in the Golok Dham. So I say, oh, this painting, it is false. It is temporary. So that painter, he will feel very angry. Just like our friend, we changed his painting a little bit on the community service center. He became very angry. So what to speak of saying that it is false painting? So this is insult to the Supreme Lord. It is real, but it is only temporarily existing. It has no duration. So this manifestation goes on and on and on and on and on. So here, Prabhupada explains, he quotes, first thing he does is quote one of our favorite verses from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Bahunam janmanam ante jnanamam prapadyate Basude Sarviti Sa Mahatma Sudurlaba. Bahunam. Bahuna means many. Just like in Hindi we say Bahut, you know, many. So Bahunam Janmanam. We know Janmanam from every year we celebrate Janmastami, Krishna's birth. So Janma means birth. Janmanam means many births. It's plural. Ante, after. Jnanavan, one who becomes Jnanavan, full of Jnan, full of knowledge. Mam Prapat, he surrenders unto me. Why is that? Oh, Basudev Sarviti. We know this word Sarva, just like we have our dear friend Sarvabhauma. So Sarva means all. Basudev Sarvi. Oh, Basudev, he is everything. Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. Such a great soul is very rare. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Now the purport, Prabhupada, is very wonderful. Living entity while executing devotional service or transcendental rituals, after many, many births, may actually become situated in transcendental, pure knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. In the beginning of spiritual realization, one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism. While one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there is some leaning towards impersonalism. But when one is further advanced, he can understand that there are activities in the spiritual life, and these activities constitute devotional service. Realizing this, he becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrenders unto him. At such a time, one can understand that Lord Krishna's mercy is everything, and that he is the cause of all causes, and that this material manifestation is not independent from him. He realizes the material world to be perverted reflection of the spiritual variegatedness, and realizes that in everything there is a relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Thus he thinks of everything in relation to Vasudeva, or Sri Krishna. Such a universal vision of Vasudeva precipitates one full surrender to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna as the highest goal. Such a surrendered souls are very, very rare. Sa Mahatma Su Durlava. Durlava, love means to obtain. So dur means is far away from, we know, dur means far, generally. But durlava means very far from obtaining. Just like there's one forest of Vrindavan, it's so far away, it's in South Africa, Durban. That's the Durban. So, Durlava, that is not easily, it is far from easily being attained. But here they put another suffix, prefix, Su Durlava. Such great souls are very, very rare. So here it says in the beginning, we all have this tendency, we try to understand the truth, but generally we have leaning toward the impersonal. Just like in my own personal search for spiritual life, the meaning of life, Jaya CC Gornitai CC Krishna Balaram CC Radhasham Sundula Devi Visakha. We were also coming to the conclusion that ultimately we would always say is beyond words. And then we look at each other and feel frustrated. Then why did you say that if it's beyond words? Or we would argue and argue about what is the reality, and then we come to the conclusion there's nothing to be said. Then what did you say that for? We were always running up against this brick wall. But the first devotee I met, who was Bhavananda Prabhu, I told him, Bhavananda, aren't we all God? Because this was our philosophy, ultimately, that everything is one, so I'm God, you're God, we're all God. And he looked at me and he said, oh, you are God? And how you have forgotten. Bhavananda is very dramatic, you know. He said, oh, you are God, and how you have forgotten. And it struck me like a ton of bricks, because we used to think the same thing. We would be on some type of intoxication, and we're realizing that we're God. I God, you're God, how did we miss it all this time? But when he said that question, I realized, yeah, because the first thing we learn in catechism class, when we're little children, God knows everything. So how is it possible that God doesn't even know himself? So then immediately I was conquered, and then gradually, and the whole idea that God was a person, that had never crossed our mind, because we think God is so big. And just like I told one lady one time, God is a person. He can't be a person, he's too big. He's too big. But this is Krishna, he's unlimited, although we just described how, just like the clouds, they're very huge, but they're all within the sky. This whole creation is within Krishna, but still, he maintains his personality beyond everything at the same time. Now, how we'll understand this? We can't understand this. It's only by the mercy of the pure devotees of the Lord that we, by hearing from their lotus mouths about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one day we'll understand this secret truth that Krishna is that ultimate issue, God is a person. Therefore, Krishna says, after many, many births, it's very difficult to understand. Because as persons, we're all limited. So when we think, oh, God's a person, he's got limitations like me, he's born, he dies, he's got toothache and headache. It's just like Prabhupada said, one yogi who was teaching everybody that you're God, he was sitting on the stage and they're describing his meditation. You sit, you meditate, then I am moving the sun, I am moving the moon, I am moving the stars, and then he had to leave the stage because he had a toothache. Sun and moon he can move, but toothache he can't deal with. And that actually, it was a great relief to understand that I wasn't God, because things were going on in my life that were beyond my control. I was really, you know, at one time, we tried to climb to the top of the mountain, and to get there, there was a big barbed wire fence that said, Boulder City Watershed, trespassers will be prosecuted. So we just went through, because we went straight ahead was the mountain where we wanted to climb. So anyway, we got caught by the forest ranger. He put us in jail. And then in the jail, I was thinking, but it's all one. Inside the jail, outside the jail, it is all one. Boy, I sure wish I was out of here. He said, wait a minute, you're God, you can't get in anxiety. God can't be in anxiety. So finally, actually what happened, it was the first time I really got into chanting Hare Krishna, because I was doing anything to overcome the fact that I'm stuck behind bars. So I was chanting, you know, Bob Dylan songs, must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. And doing so many things. And then I remember that the week before in the park, Central Park in Boulder, where all the young people used to hang out, some girl had come into the park named Angel, and she started playing her guitar, and she started singing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So I started trying to remember the chord she was playing and pretending to play my guitar. And I just started chanting and chanting, and all the other prisoners were, because I was in a cell by myself at that point. So all the other prisoners were in the TV room and said, hey, shut up in there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I was just in ecstasy. Suddenly it didn't matter, inside the jail, outside the jail. It just didn't matter. And then somehow somebody came and bailed us out. So by Krishna's arrangement. And then just after that, within a month or so, we ran into the devotees. And so then my second question to Bhavananda was, oh, but all talking is nonsense. Because that was our conclusion. We were always coming up with this impersonalist conclusion, that all talking is nonsense. So he said, yes, unless you're chanting Hare Krishna, that's a transcendental sound vibration, or you're talking about Krishna. That is also a transcendent, he's very dramatic, that is a transcendental sound vibration that will elevate your consciousness beyond this material covering. I said, wow. Because even before I was a devotee, people used to tell me, you don't tell stories, you tell movies. So our coming to the conclusion every time that all talking was nonsense was very frustrating for me, because I knew I wasn't going to stop talking and not stop telling stories. So then I learned, the first story I learned was Nisringadev. So I don't know what people thought. They come to the temple, immediately taking the picture of Lord Nisringadev, you're ripping your Rani Kashyap, and start telling the story. That's the only story I knew. So anyway, in the beginning, we're all inclined toward impersonalism. Because it seems like if I've got a body, then I'm limited. But Krishna is inconceivable. God means he's beyond our conception. Achintya. Your thinking power. If God was under your thinking power, then you would be God. So he's inconceivable. He can be unlimited and at the same time have a form. So this whole idea that God having a form never occurred to us at all. Then I began to read Prabhupada's books. I picked up that time we had this little blue Bhagavad Gita by Macmillan. They'd edited out about 700, it was 400 pages, and now our Bhagavad Gita is about 1,100 pages. So 700 pages have been edited out of this book. Still we became devotees by reading Prabhupada's words. Then gradually we came to that platform. Oh, Krishna is everything. I remember seeing, there's a beautiful picture of Krishna. He's standing under a tree playing his flute, and he has, doesn't have a crown, but he has like a little cap, you know, like the Jewish people wear, but very colorful. And he's playing his flute, and there's a peacock in the tree, and the moon is there between the pine trees, and there's a stream coming down. You've seen Murli Manohar is the name of this print, Brijbasi print. So just a week before, we had been by a river, and we took some type of intoxication. When we were coming down, we were watching, it was full moon, so that's why we took intoxication. Oh, it's full moon, let's take intoxication. And so the moon was going down between the pine trees, and the water was flowing down over the rocks like that, and we were jumping from rock to rock as we were re-entering, as Allen Ginsberg said, call it. And I looked at that picture and I said, I was there just a week ago. But one thing was missing, that was Krishna. There was Krishna there. And I could see how that everything in that picture, the moon, the trees, the stars, the river, everything was emanating from Krishna. Even I understood, I'm also an emanation of Krishna. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Oh, Krishna is everything. When we say Krishna is everything, we have to understand carefully that he still remains his own personality. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of businessman, he's got so many businesses all running on under his energy, his order, by his money, let's say. Money is, we can say, is energy. But he's not present in the office of every single, he's got companies all over the world, he's multinational. He's not present in every building, but it's all running on by his energies. The same way, Krishna maintains his personality aloof from his creation. But since it is his energy, it is non-different from Krishna. In this way, Krishna is everything. We should think that this sky, this is emanation from Krishna. This tree, this beautiful tamal tree that's just now the fresh leaves are coming. Very soon the flowers will start to appear and the scent will come. This is also emanation of Krishna. These are all Krishna's energies. And gradually we come to the right conclusion that is generally reached only after many, many births. Bahunam janmanam. But the pure devotees are so powerful, they can jump us over all those births and bring us to the topmost conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the power of the pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada's books are so powerful, and Srila Prabhupada was so powerful. The hero says, Sa Mahatma Sudralava. They're very difficult to find out somebody who understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prabhupada created hundreds and thousands. I guess nowadays must be millions of such Mahatmas. Those Mahatmas that are very rare. Prabhupada was so powerful all over the world. He is going on and on and on and on. Prabhupada created so many such Mahatmas who understand that this everything is Krishna. Vasudev Sarvamiti. And that the ultimate realization is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We were all after the Brahmajyoti. But Prabhupada and the scriptures give example, just like a mountain. From a distance we see a mountain, we think, it's just a big blue cloud on the horizon. As we get closer, we realize that it is a green mountain. And when we get to the mountain, then we see there's trees and chipmunks and bears and squirrels and pine trees and pine nuts and so many things. We see everything. Everybody's looking at the same thing. One seeing a cloud, one seeing a green mountain. In other words, seeing the whole situation. So, this Brahman realization, that's like seeing from far away. Paramatma is like seeing a little bit closer. But Bhagavan, then we understand everything as it is. So this is the highest goal. And we see, just like We have seen in the pages of Bhagavatam so many impersonalists, just like the four Kumaras. They were also impersonalists, but they smelt the fragrance of the tulsi offered to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Now they were able to distinguish matter from spirit, so they could understand this smell is not a material smell, and it is so transcendentally enchanting. And thus they became Vaishnavas. We have this example, people coming to up. We don't have the example of people falling down from Bhagavan realization to Brahman realization. And we see nobody can, and it is not practical. We see so many people supposed to be Brahman realized, but they're opening hospital and clinics and so many things like that. One word they're saying, Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya, this material world is Mitya, so why are they opening so many Mitya hospitals? Not the hospital shouldn't be open, but that is somebody else's service. Our service is to get you to this temple is the real hospital, how you can get free altogether from material existence. Like everyone's working so hard now, trying to figure out how to free from this coronavirus. But once that's gone, another virus will come. We have to get free from this material world altogether, go back to home, back to Godhead. That is the real solution. So the one who's really realized, he makes temples of the Lord and propagates knowledge of how one can become free entirely from material existence, not just make it temporary. Prabhupada said it's just like blowing on a boil. You have a boil and it hurts, and you blow on it. No, you have to take a needle and lance it and push out all that. Then all of a sudden it's better. So this hospital is just blowing on the boil. But Krishna consciousness is lancing that boil. It may feel a little difficult. Chanting 16 rounds, following regulated principles, getting up early may seem difficult, but this will give us freedom from this whole material existence. So we'll put our voice to rest here. But yesterday also was many things. One was Balaram's Rasayatra. One was Sri Krishna's Vasant Rasayatra. And Shamananda's appearance date was also, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, was the appearance day, midnight last night, was the appearance day of Radhakund. Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on Bhagavatam, he very clearly describes that on Chaitra Purnima, this was Chaitra Purnima last night, and was when Krishna killed the Aristasura. So what does Aristasura have to do with Radhakund's appearance? What happened was that was Purnima, so Krishna was thinking, let me do rasa dance with all the gopis. So he got dressed up, Prabhupada says, Natavara, like a dancing actor, with very beautiful golden dhoti and nice belt and beautiful chadar, peacock feather in his crown, just like dancing actor. When he got the news that this Aristasura, who was in the form of a bull, that he was terrorizing all the Vrishvasis. Now we thought this terrorism was a new thing, but this has been going on since the last 5,000 years at least. This was Arista bin Laden. So he was tearing up the ground with his hooves, smashing the Vrishvasi houses with his horns. His hump on his back was up in the clouds. His tail was blowing above the clouds. He, by his roaring, rawr! It's like every day we're chanting our rounds on the roof of the guest house. This bull comes down the back road in front of MVT. Rawr! Rawr! But roar was so loud the Vrishvasinis were having miscarriages. So then Krishna became very angry. He said, these Vrishvasis, Vrishvasi Balab Sada Mita Jivan Pran, these Vrishvasis are more dear to me than my own life. Why are you terrorizing them? I'm going to fix you. I'm going to finish you off. And then, just to show that he was not afraid, he put his hand on one of his friend's shoulder. And Ristasura began to dig the ground with his hooves. And he pointed his horns. And he came charging. So Prabhupada explains in Nectar Devotion, or Rupa Goswami explains, that one of Krishna's qualities is clever. So Krishna knew that he was clever. He knew how you control a bull is by the horns. So he grabbed Aristasura by the horns and just threw him away like a little piece of cotton. Boom. this huge, this hump was in the clouds, and Krishna just threw him away like a piece of cotton. Then Rishasura snorted again. Roar! He got up, dug the earth with his hooves. He again aimed at Krishna, came charging. And Krishna grabbed him, swung him around and around and around, and smashed him on the ground. And then pulled out one of his horns and smashed his head with one of his horns. And then stomping on him like a sponge, he stomped on him. And passing stool and urine simultaneously, he passed to the kingdom of death. So then Krishna told all the gopis, all right, now we can do ras. And Radharani and all the gopis said, are, you have done a big pop. You know pop? Coca-Cola 7-Up. No, pop means sin. What sin did I do? You killed a bull. That wasn't a bull, that was a demon. And Radharani said, may have been a demon, but he was in the form of a bull. And Krishna said, may have been in the form of a bull, but he was a demon. And Radharani said, well, we heard from Mother Purnamasi, who's the guru of all the Vrishvasis, that one time Indra killed one demon, that Britrasura. He may have been a demon, but he was a Brahmin. He got reaction. You remember from Srimad Bhagavatam, this old lady with corona, she came coughing up blood, chasing after Indra. He had to hide in the lake of lotuses for 1,000 years. He got reaction. Krishna said, all right, so what do I have to do to get free from this reaction? And Radharani and all her sakis, they talked to one another. They said, you will have to take bath in all the sacred places of the universe. And Krishna said, are, that will take a long time. How I can be away from you girls for so long? I will bring all the sacred places in one spot. And Gopi said, oh, Shamsundar, don't try to fool us with your magic. We don't believe in your magic. And then Krishna stomped his right foot into the ground and made a deep depression. And he played on his flute. And all the sacred rivers of the universe came personified to the banks of that, on the banks of that depression. And they were all bowing down to Krishna. And he said, Seva Maharaj, he said, yes, you give your introduction, you chant your mantra, and you pour your water in my kund. So everyone came forward, they gave their introduction, that I'm Godavari, I'm Narmada, I'm Sindhu, I'm this holy place and that holy place. Then they chanted the mantra for their water and they poured their water in Krishna's kund. And Krishna, just by his eyes, he was indicating to the gopis, see, I told you, they're coming, see? Because when we have love, we don't need words. When we're angry, we're standing face to face, we'll be screaming at each other because our hearts have gone far away. We're standing face to face, but we shout. We're angry. You stupid nonsense. But when we have love, then we speak like this. Or sometimes we don't even use words. So Krishna, just by his eyes, he was showing. See, they're coming. I told you. So this went on almost to the midnight. Then Krishna took his bath. He invited the gopis. Now you come in the water. We'll enjoy jalakeli. Water pastimes. And Radharani and the Sakhi said, this water is contaminated with your sin. How we can come in this water? We are going to make our own kund. So there was a place nearby where Vrishasura had dug his hoof into the ground, so there was a little depression. So Radharani broke her kankan. Kankan means golden bangles. And she began to dig. And all the Sakhis, they broke their bangles and they began to dig. So in the very bottom of Radha Kund, in the very center, there's a little tiny kund called Kankan Kund. If you go to YouTube and you search for Kankan Kund, you can see the devotees doing the cleaning of Radha Kund, and in the very middle is this little tiny kund called Kankan Kund. We saw it in 1987. We were fortunate. We saw this in 1987. Actually, we came there, and we went down into the mud, and they had a... they had some sort of a board with some flag on it, because I was going to circumambulate the kund, and everybody was yelling. And I thought because everybody's running back and forth taking mud out, so I thought they thought I was going to disturb their service. But actually, that board with the flag was indicating that word is it's super muddy. So I took one step and went, and my one foot was on solid ground, and my other foot was stuck in the mud. And then the more I pulled, the more it pulled. And everybody was yelling at me that somehow or other, with the one foot that was still available, because there wasn't any way to push with your hands because it was just mud. So then somehow or other, I wiggled my foot out and then went around that board and circumambulated. We went up to the edge, put some kankakun. Then last time, 2010, and next, we told all the devotees, oh, kankakun is visible. The next day, everybody took a bus to Radhakund. But we saw while we were there, that water was coming from everywhere. There's so many springs underneath Radhakund. When you dump up out all the water, still water is just coming up. So all the devotees jumped on a bus. They went to Radhakund to see Kankakund, and already it was filled up again. They finished the cleaning, and it was full up. But we just got there on the right day and the right time. In 2010, we also helped in the cleaning of Radhakund, and we also got... But you can both... At least 2010 is there on... YouTube wasn't available in 1987. So we saw this Kankankund was there. So they dug this little kund. And the Krishna said, your kund is very beautiful, but there's no water in it. And Radharani said, we're going to bring water from Manasi Ganga. We're going to get thousands of gopis with gold and silver water pots, one line going empty, one line coming back full, and we're going to fill it with water from Manasi Ganga. Now, Krishna, he doesn't like to see the gopis doing any work. He can't bear to see bead of perspiration come on Radha's brow. So he signaled to all those holy places personified. They became one person, and they began to offer beautiful prayers to Srimati Radharani. And they were saying that we thought that the perfection of life was to be associated with the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Because you think, when Krishna bathed in all the sacred places, he got purified. Huh? Da? Yes? Niet? No, all the holy places became purified because Krishna bathed in them. Huh? But now the holy place personified began to pray, seeing your wonderful divine qualities, and seeing that even Lord Sri Krishna worships your feet, we can understand the real perfection of life is to be associated with your lotus feet. So she's a little suspicious because he's coming from Krishna's side, you know. So what do you want? And they prayed, we want to come in your kund. And then with a sidelong glance, Radharani smiled at Sri Krishna. And she shook her head. And they broke a hole from Shyamakund into Radhakund. If you see on the Sangam, you'll see there's a little white chhatri. Underneath that chhatri, there's a hole between in the steps. You can see between the steps, you can see there's a hole between Shyamakund and Radhakund. In fact, in 1987, me and my dear godbrother Kripaniti from Canada, we ran back and forth through there. We're probably the only ISKCON devotees ever ran back and forth between the hole between Shyamakund and Radhakund. So the waters of Shyamakund came in, and that happened just at the midnight of Chaitra Purnima. So then, Krishna told Radharani, your kund is very beautiful, and I will always come and take my bath in your kund. And Radharani told, and your kund is very beautiful, we will always come and take our bath in your kund. So in this way, this is a special mercy of Radha and Krishna. We have no, although we understand the goal of life is to approach Radha and Krishna, we have no way to approach them, but by their mercy, we have no qualification whatsoever. By their mercy, in their most ecstatic forms as the lakes of Radhakund and Shyamakund, we're able to approach. We should not jump and splash like we do in other kunds. These are very sacred places. Very reverently we should take water on our heads and take our bath very reverently in these beautiful kunds. So last night at midnight, or this morning at midnight, this was the appearance of Radhakund. So we'll put our voice to rest here. If anybody has any questions, we'll try to answer them. Where's Bhakta Mike?
Can you
Well, tamal trees, you see, the bark is black like Krishna. And they're always very crooked. So, and at Prabhupada's time, he writes that they're very rare. Now I see all over Braj so many. I know one property where there's 100 tamal trees on that property. So it's very rare. And you see, it's right in the middle of the courtyard. So Surabhi, he's the architect, he was thinking, what is the use of this tree in the courtyard? So he wanted to cut it. And he was arguing with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada finally got angry. Apparently Devi Shakti can tell the story because she was here. I'm just, whatever I remember. Prabhupada said, all right, go ahead and cut it down. But he was so angry that everybody was afraid to cut it down. And this is not the original one. Because unfortunately we made a mistake. Because it's all around, you see, is marble. So we're thinking, where did this tree, poor tree, get its water? So every day when they would sweep the floor, they would pour water into the, you see the little thing there. And trees, not only do they need water, they need air. We don't realize that trees also need, their roots also need to get air. So it has to dry out so they can also get air. So gradually the whole trunk rotted away and the tree finally dried up. And we left it dried up. Everybody was thinking somehow it's going to come back. Till one day one branch fell off almost on Devi Shakti Mataji's head. So then they decided we have to take it. You can see we still left it there. We cut off the branches. But you can see on one side of on the inside circle there's a break in the marble. That's where the tree finally just... Because it had grown all the way through the netting. And actually that was what was holding it up. And when we cut it free from the netting, it just fell over. They cut off all the branches because one had fallen. So on the Vijay Dasami day, which is the same day that Sripad Ayanda Prabhu started the 24-hour kirtan, we brought one of the most renowned landscape artist, what's his name? Sharma, I can't remember. He came all the way from Delhi, and because devotees were thinking if we just, because originally the devotees used to polish the brass and pour that water, so somebody said, you just pour the water, it'll come back to life. He said, this tree is totally dead, it's not going to come back to life unless Banki Bihari himself comes and brings it back to life. So he told us, then in our Goshala, we had so many, in the Goshala garden, we had so, one corner, there was three tamal trees growing on three of the corners. So he told us how you dig down, he told us how far out to go, and you dig down 1 foot and leave it rest. Because when you're digging down, you'll cut the roots, it'll go into shock. When tree goes into shock, it doesn't absorb water. So you let it one day rest, and you dig another foot, you let it rest, another foot, you let it rest. And we dug down and we got as much of the root ball as we could. We put a big piece of burlap around it. And we brought it over here. And by that process of 1 foot every day and letting it rest, when we planted this tree, not one leaf drooped. Ordinarily, if you dig a tree out of the ground and put it down, it goes into shock. It doesn't absorb any water, but all the water still lives. Evaporating from the leaves. So this was just a tiny little tree. It's not the original one, but he said 50 years from now nobody will know that it's not the original tree, and it's about to grow up and again go through the netting on the roof. But we're going to see in the next couple of weeks the flowers will come, very wonderful scent, very beautiful. They're coming? I was looking yesterday, I couldn't see. Anyway. So the tamal trees are blackish and they're crooked. So the gopis, when they're running in love for Krishna with tears in their eyes, they can't see what's there. They just see something is crooked and black and they embrace the tamal trees. And I think it's, is either Vidagdha Madhav or Lalita Madhav Radharani tells Lalita that when I die, take my body and drape it around a tamal tree. So this is the significance of tamal trees. Chanting?
In the jail.
Yeah.
And after chanting, the jailer asked me to go.
No, somebody came because they'd seen. We stopped back at our campground, and everybody knew we were getting arrested. And there was one devotee, he was doing some type of business we won't mention. So he had a lot of money. So he came down and bailed us out. And then I jumped bail.
Huh?
Yeah, Haridas Thakur also went in the jail.
Yeah.
And he blessed everyone, may you remain like you are. And they all went, then explain, now you're in great distress, you're all remembering Krishna, so you should always remember Krishna like this. Even if you get out of this jail, remain as you are, always remembering Krishna. Yes. Ultimately, you'll be free from this jail of material existence. Any other questions? Yes, our Leelakar has a question. Context, we have just like the same way we understand the deity is non different from Krishna. They have appeared in because they're joined together. This is most ecstatic pastime. And Radha and Krishna joined together, the two kuns. So they're in union. This is the most ecstatic situation. They've appeared, and we're very fallen, but this is their mercy that they allow us to approach them in the form of these two kuns. It's like the deity, we can't. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the whole world is attracting us through our senses. If we can't become attracted to the Lord by our senses, then we're in a very awkward position. So Krishna appears and Lord Chaitanya appear and Nityananda appear in the form of the deities. So somebody may say it is stone, but we see every day. We're so attached, we actually develop some love for the deities. Everybody who's locked out, they're all crying that you're so lucky. All of us who are staying inside here, every day we get to see you, Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar. We've developed a little love, because it's not stone. Just like the story in Chaitanya Charitamrita of Sakshi Gopal. He was supposed to come witness for this poor Brahmin. And so he went back to came all the way back to Vrindavan. He said, unless you come as a witness, they're not going to, the old Brahmin's not, he promised to give him his daughter in wedding, in marriage. He said, you just go there, remember me within your mind, and I will bear witness. He said, no, they're atheists, they're not going to believe it. You have to come. He said, well, how can a deity walk? He said, well, if a deity can talk, a deity can walk. So Krishna was defeated by his own logic. He said, but you don't look back. So every night he cooked. He said, oh, while we're walking, you don't look back. But you will hear my ankle bell. But in the evening, I'll stop, and then you offer bhog. He told him exactly how much, I forget how many kilos of rice you offer. And so every day he would hear Krishna. When he got all the way to, what was it? What's the Vijayanagar or some other, anyway, somewhere in South India, in Andhra Pradesh. He got all the way there, then he didn't hear the ankle bells, and he turned around, and the deity was standing there. And he's huge deity. I've seen him from outside. They won't let you inside the temple. Now he's just nearby to Jagannath. But anyway, this huge, big deity, at least 2 feet, 6 foot high deity is there. So then he called all the townspeople that a Gopal has come. And everyone ran and they saw that this deity, there's no way this little guy carried this deity. This deity must have come. So then very happily he gave his daughter. He was happy, but the children were upset. So then everyone was very happy. This is such a great devotee. The Lord has walked all the way across India to bear witness. So then later the king of Orissa, he conquered the king of Andhra Pradesh. And he said, only thing I want that Sakshi Gopal. So he brought him, he put him in the Jagannath temple. But then he came to him in dream. He said, this guy with the big eyes, he eats all my boga. You give me my own temple. And every time he looks and he eats all my boga. So then a few kilometers, about like 6 kilometers away or 5 kilometers away, there's Sakshi Gopal temple. But they don't, just like Jagannath, they don't allow. But we did kirtan. The Brahmins who were doing the pujaris were very merciful to us. They lit up all the lights so we could see the form of the Lord from outside. Because they didn't agree with the pandas after all these foreigners there, we're letting so many people in, so-called Hindus, wearing pan and shirt and sunglasses and so many things. These guys have stika and dhoti and kurta and chanting the holy name. So they lit up all the lights so we got darshan from distance of Sakshi Gopal, huge deity of Sakshi Gopal. Yes?
We read about the importance of serving Radha Krishna, but what does that actually mean, serving Radha Krishna?
Real service to Radha Krishna means to become Krishna conscious. To chant your 60 rounds, follow four regular principles, and try to please your spiritual master. That is a real service to Radha Krishna. And real service to Radha Krishna is book distribution. Because on that Sangam, for the ISKCON devotees, the Sangam is one of the most sacred places in the universe. Because one time Prabhupada was doing his business and on a business trip to Agra, when he got the word that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada was in Radha Krishna. So he came there and they were walking on the Sangam, and Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada looked at our Prabhupada and he said, if you ever get money, print books. So book distribution was born from Radha Krishna. So if you want to serve Radha Krishna, distribute books. Because Radharani, she's always trying to making arrangements. All the gopis are making arrangements for Radha to meet with Krishna. But Radharani, she's always trying to make arrangements for Krishna to meet other gopis. So those who are going in book distribution, you're trying to bring some more gopis for Krishna. One more question, why not? We're locked in here, nothing to do except talk about Krishna. So. And we're very fortunate. Devi Shakti is going to talk in the evening. I'm talking also in the evening every night on Facebook. So we have to study and talk. What else to do? Palambasura.
And then there was that one time where a demon in the form of a cat came.
Vatsasura.
So I was thinking, just reading the other day, how Putana came acting like a mother, but when Krishna killed her, she actually got the form of a mother in the spiritual world. And he was saying,
Jiva Goswami says, like a mother. Like a mother means nurse. She got liberated all the way up to Golok. She has a special type I can't remember the name of the mukti. She got a special type of mukti. She's got all the way to Golok, but she, as like a mother, Jiva Goswami means nurse, but she never gets any direct service of Krishna. She sees Krishna, but she doesn't get any direct service. All the demons were liberated by Krishna. This is Krishna's mercy. I don't have any information where they got to liberation to. Only that Jiva Goswami mentioned specifically about Putana. And Sukadeva Goswami says that Putana, she came to kill Krishna because she offered a little milk. She got liberated. So he's amazed and he said, What's going to happen to those people who day and night are chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. We can't imagine what liberation is waiting for them. With that, we'll put our voice to rest here. Thank you very much. Those who are outside at 5:30 in the evening will be broadcasting on our Facebook page, Facebook Live, telling some more pastimes. Hare Krishna. Is Devi Shakti on TV also?
Yes, 5 to 7.
5 to 7. You can tune in also to Devi Shakti, telling so many hidden pastimes of the... I didn't even know. I've seen those two peacocks forever, but I never knew that that was... They had to reinforce to make the dome because nobody made a pressure. I didn't know all these secrets. This is so amazing. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.